So here we are on the second Sunday of Advent, eagerly awaiting the coming of our Savior on Christmas Eve. And the first two Sundays of Advent are both the commentary of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Jesus movement. John the Baptist's ministry can be summarized in a single word: repentance. That in turn, like many people at the time, were anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And for John, the way to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah was to repent, to take part in the unique baptismal ritual where one is immersed in the waters of the Jordan while confessing one's sin. And so in spirit, John the Baptist, in the season of Advent, as Christians, we are encouraged to be attentive as a way of spiritually preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but in reflecting upon my life, I've had a rather complicated relationship with repentance. I remember in my youth, when we would kneel and recite the confession during Mass, it made me kind of uncomfortable, and I was troubled with the sense of why we were doing it on purpose. Because I didn't think of anything that I did that week for more of such formal confession. I mean, I understood that some people needed confession because people do commit sins in the past, and sometimes they have a reason to confess their sins. Well, that was a pretty well-behaved commitment for the most part, and I never did anything particularly good for you. And it just seemed unnecessary to me that I could dwell on some slight error that I did in the past. And then I got older, my Christian identity called confession. Feel a bit more consistent. I thought to myself, still I don't understand, but I'm human. I'm imperfect. But you know what? God made me imperfect. I didn't choose to be this way. So why should I apologize to God for being small? And you know what, friends? God loves me unconditionally for who I am. So surely God forgives me for any kind of blessing, but I absolutely not. And this was my general attitude from childhood to early adulthood. And so for the most part, repentance as a spiritual practice continues to be spiritual. Anyway, it is interesting how things have a tendency to color in life. Because in recent years, I have found great comfort in the practice of repentance. It comes to the fact that as we approach Sunday, I crave the confession, I crave the absolution. I feel more and more like I need it. There is something I need. So why would you hold your attitude for repentance? Well, I thought a great deal about this, and I think that's the sum of why. Because the older I get, the more acutely aware I become of my calling to this. So everything I do, everything I eat, everything I wear, has somehow been tainted by the stain of sin. I mean, just thinking about the clothes that I wear during my life, how they were probably sewn together by someone from a precious factory with a seed, colored by dyes that can use his grandfather, and sold by a salesperson struggling to make them believe, because only with a human voice. Or even my iPhone, how the mirror that can fly to screen comes from some pilot's mind in China, and the lithium that's using the battery
drain the local water supply that can cook the water. And so if I was to observe the magic of God, anything that I hold or consume or enjoy, the skin that skin, no matter how small, is there. So remind me of how St. Paul characterizes sin in his letter to Romans. How sin enters the world and saturates everything. It's like, if anyone has ever tried anything in our product before, the sense that permeates everything in the house, your clothing, your furniture, even if I'm in the bathroom, you can grab and grab the house, you can close the door, and you can go so what this sense is applied to, for this call, the force of sin that pervades everything in the world, to be a false policy. So the older I get, the more and more I feel like I'm being caught in this web of sin that puts me in the mind. And I feel paralyzed because the symptoms that can quickly explode are so deeply embedded in this world that I feel hopeless that nothing can be done about it. And to make matters worse, the more I consume, the more I love. And it becomes increasingly difficult to work on the very things that perpetuate these things. There are times of heroes in John King Augustine who, as he was in the midst of converting to Christianity, begged God, grant me happiness, but not God. Not yet. In other words, make me righteous, Lord, but maybe. Let me enjoy my righteousness a little while longer. And so, yes, these days I find comfort in this question of the absolution. Because most of us, not all of us, I am stuck in the mire of sin, shameful. This brings me to the future of this morning's sermon. The practice of repentance is central to our faith. So central is it that in this season of Advent, at the very beginning of the new liturgical year, our church reads repentance. All of our readings from this morning, from Isaiah, Peter, and Mark, they are all saying the same thing, repentance. Indeed, repentance is so central in Mark's gospel that it appears at the very beginning of his account. Mark's gospel does not begin with an epiphany. It begins with a ministry of John the Baptist in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sin. And what were the first recorded words that Jesus said in Mark's gospel? Repent and believe in the good news. So why is repentance so central in Mark's gospel? Why is it so central to our tradition as a whole? Because repentance is transformative. Repentance is all about letting go of the old life and embracing the new. Is about dying to the sins of the past and being reborn in the present. And yet repentance is much more interesting and paradoxical. The Greek term for repentance, metanoia, literally means to turn around, to return. And so, by including repentance, which begins with the second form, it's almost like a whole body. We are going back to being born again, returning to the time before we came, returning to the state of innocence. So the only way to go forward in the journey of salvation is to go back. The day of the great temptation is raised up. Anyone ever got an offer on my name? Raise your hand. I have that in you. terrible feeling if it's really wrong, right? So, what do you do when you find this very awful? Well, the first thing you have to do is to acknowledge that you sin. If you don't accept that you're wrong, then you will stay wrong. And what happens after you accept that you're wrong? You have to turn around and get to go back to the church. And so it is with the Christian life. You stray from the path of righteousness and become wrong. You realize that it's true, and then you turn around to go back to the path of righteousness. And so you see, repentance is a two-step process. Confession is only the first step. Absolution. A different step. The confession of sin is not an end in itself. It is, there's no good kind of standing and working in the law and teach yourself up with the law. It's not an end. Confession is a new thing. It is not an end. Confession is to say, releases us from the change of sin, from the absolution, when you receive the liberal and grace of the Holy Spirit, that we are let out of the church. So why repentance now? What is the relationship between repentance and the season of absence? We repent because we are preparing the soul to receive Christ. This is the essence of the ministry of John the Baptist. Confess your sins, be baptized in water, be clean, prepare yourself, because another one is coming who is greater than I, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. My wife and I hope to Thanksgiving for the first time this year. And what did we do for 2 hours before the guests arrived? Clean the house. And this is what we love to do in life. To clean the house of the soul. So that Christ will find within us a suitable moment. Where he will continue to sanctify us, to sanctify us in truth. And as we are sanctified, little by little, we will gradually be shown to that same man. To a time before the fall, we will work on this man. And it is then that our liberation from sin, will be complete. Amen. Amen.